My name is Joy Moses. I'm with the Poverty and Prosperity Program at the Center for American Progress. We've been doing a series of discussions with advocates throughout the country who work with low-income people and are helping them to manage the crisis that was brought about by the economic downturn. Today, I'm joined by Steve Epler Epstein from Connecticut Legal Services, and he is going to give us a view of what's happening in that world. Steve, how are you today?
I am well, thank you.
Great. Well, I'm just going to jump in and begin with the first question. How has the demand for your services been impacted by the recession?
We know from studies that have been done and past history that every time the economy struggles, there are more people out of work and more people who need help. And that happens in a variety of ways. A lot of the work we do is for victims of domestic violence. And when households are under economic stress, there tends to be an increase in the amount of violence that happens. But there are also more direct results of a bad economy when more people are out of work. People's incomes drop generally because there's many more people working part-time. People's incomes are lower. So for starters, there's just a lot more people who are eligible for legal aid for the poor. And you know, in addition, there's people who lost work, people who may have been marginally employed before and who may have, in fact, disabilities that entitle them to help. People tend to prefer to work than to take public help, but when there aren't enough jobs, there's more people who need to get on various forms of assistance, whether it's food stamps or disability assistance or other kinds of help.
And does your organization help people with obtaining those services?
We do. We do the work. Legal Aid works with all the other social service agencies around, and so we don't help people who can do things for themselves, and we don't help people who can be helped by the other agencies. We get referrals of cases where problems have gotten to a point that folks really need a lawyer, either because they need to go to court, either to defend themselves against an eviction or to protect Section 8 housing subsidies or to deal with a domestic violence situation in court. Or often people need a lawyer to analyze the laws that are being applied to them. So we often are helping people who aren't in court but are trying to figure out if they are in fact eligible for government benefits that could help them in a time of need, and they're being told that they're not eligible. And we can do the analysis and, if necessary, do the administrative process through the government bureaucracies to try to get people the assistance that they need.
One of the major issues arising out of this recession, of course, is the foreclosure crisis. Has your organization been playing a part in helping families or individuals manage foreclosures or evictions connected to foreclosures?
We have. There's been a huge change in the nature of the work that we do to prevent homelessness among low-income people, in that there are so many people who have been evicted after foreclosure, people who were tenants. The numbers nationally, I think, are that 40% of the people who lose their homes as a result of foreclosure are actually tenants, not owners. And so we have certainly seen that in our work. A large part of our of the caseload of lawyers doing housing work for low-income people has become defending tenants who are being evicted as a result of foreclosures. And what's amazing about those cases is that these are generally people who are paying their rent. They're people who are doing everything right, but the practice for a long time in the banking industry has been that when they foreclose on a building, they just empty it out of all the tenants. They have the right to do that under the law, and they take advantage of it, and they empty it out under the theory that it's difficult or expensive for them, is the idea to keep tenants in. And if they empty the building out, the idea is it will be easier to sell. And, of course, the fallacy of that in this environment is that nobody's buying anything. And so these buildings sit on the market. They're often vandalized and, in fact, lose value sharply. So we've been fighting really hard, not only for individuals, but also talking to policymakers, talking directly to banks, to try to get them to let tenants who are paying their rent stay in the building and not add to the problem.
And could you talk a little bit about the resources that you have available within your organization to to provide this assistance? Are you facing any resource challenges?
We are, in fact, facing a resource crisis. In Connecticut, as with most other legal aid programs around the country, there's a variety of funding sources. There's some private money from foundations and donations and United Ways. There's some state funding, although in Connecticut, Connecticut has provided less state funding than other comparable states to this point. And there's some money from the federal government. But in Connecticut, two-thirds of the funding for legal aid, for the whole legal aid network, two-thirds of the funding have come from IOLTA, Interest on Lawyer Trust Accounts. And that's a program that was established about 20 years ago. Lawyers hold money for clients for short periods of time in their trust accounts, in their escrow accounts. And the lawyer's not allowed to make money off of it. They can't make money from their client's money. But the money is held for too short a period of time, or it's not enough money to make it to have it make sense for the lawyers to set up separate accounts client by client to earn interest on it. So they go into a pooled account for safekeeping. And about 20 years ago, across the country, policymakers realized that there could be interest on those accounts and that could be used to fund legal aid. And for many years, it worked better in Connecticut than probably any place else. It was a large part of our funding for many years. And it tended to be reasonably stable because if interest rates went down, you'd think you'd get a little bit less money. But if interest rates went down, the number of homes being sold went up, and so there was some more money being held, and it tended to balance out until the current crisis. And starting last fall, the Interest on Lawyer Trust Account funding source has just collapsed because nobody's doing any real estate business. Everything is just frozen up. And interest rates are almost zero. And so the IOLTA revenues, Interest on Lawyer Trust Account revenues in Connecticut, have dropped by 80%. And it had been two-thirds of our funding. The money from IOLTA goes through a nonprofit agency that administers it. In Connecticut, it's called the Connecticut Bar Foundation. And they had some reserve, so we're not seeing the full impact of the 80% loss. But what we have seen is that we've lost 50% of our IOLTA grant at this point. And that's, in my organization, it's been a $4 million loss of funding. We've lost a third of our funding, and it just created huge pressure on our organization.
So how will this affect your organization? How will it affect your staffing and operations in the future, but also, I guess, at this point in time?
Pretty immediately, yes. We're taking it in two stages. I mean, we first looked at what we could do immediately to try to impact our situation. And the immediate thing we could do was to cut back on our salaries and hours. We have a unionized program and a really great relationship between the management of our program and the staff union. And we agreed from the beginning that our mutual goal was to try to hold on to everybody in the organization that we could, because we know that at some point the funding should improve, and we need to try to get through to that time as best we can. So we're trying to hold on to the staff as best we can. And so the staff, you know, incredibly heroically took a 20% cut in hours and pay from what weren't really terrific salaries to begin with. And we also restructured our health care benefits so that they are less expensive while still providing quality health care. The managers in our program took 25 to 35% cut. So that got us partway into the deficit that we were facing. And then we went out and started trying to raise money like crazy. And we have been very active in sending out applications for money from various private sources and government sources, although, you know, the challenge is that many foundations lost 30% of their money in the downturn, too. So there's not as much private money out there as there would have been a year ago. So that is going to help close another little bit of our gap. But the final effort that we're making is to get funding from the state government, which had given us a little bit of money before. In this environment, environment, we are asking them to make a much more significant grant to legal services to get us through this crisis without any further cut in services to the client.
So have you made some cuts in services to clients? Has it impacted the people you serve?
It absolutely has. We're trying to minimize it as much as we can. But if you cut hours, our offices are closed one day a week at this point, with the exception of our administrative office. We make sure that one of our offices is always open. We do it on a rolling basis, so that we're always available. But, you close a day a week, and it just has an impact on how much you can do. So that's been really hard. Some of our staff work on the day when we're closed, just as some of our staff have always worked on weekends and 24/7. We have people who are really committed to the work, but it does have a serious impact on the number of clients we can help. We still do really good work. We're still helping a lot of people, but it's been hard for the staff because their salaries have been cut so much, and it's been hard on the client community. You know, and the thing that's a little bit scary is that if we don't get the help from the legislature that we're asking for, we are going to be forced to have layoffs in addition to the cuts we've already made. And we could be forced to lay off as much as a quarter of the staff if we don't get help from the legislature. Fortunately, the state legislature in Connecticut understands that there's a need, that the work we do is important. Our state, as many states around the country, is faced with multi-billion-dollar deficits right now, but we've identified some potential sources of funding through increases in court fees that's supported by the judicial branch in Connecticut, and an increase in the attorney occupational tax, which is supported by the Bar Association in Connecticut. They've actually volunteered to the legislature they'd be willing to increase their own taxes in order to support legal aid. And so we're hoping that the legislature will put those in place and let us avoid the worst result for our staff and our clients from this recession.
Do you think that there's anything that could be done at the federal level to provide some assistance?
There's a lot that can be done at the federal level. And I know people are very active in trying to make some of these things happen. For starters, the biggest line of money to support legal services is the Legal Services Corporation funding. And that line has been too low for a very long time. And I know there are proposals around to try to get at least the authorized level doubled from where it's been in recent years. And that would be a really great step. A second thing also related to Legal Services Corporation funding is that there's a set of restrictions on what that money can be used for, which have resulted in distributing the money in sort of awkward ways in some states, including Connecticut, where the money has to be segregated in different agencies and not necessarily supporting all of the work of legal aid. And so lifting of what's called the private money restriction, which says that if you take the federal dollars, not only do the restrictions that come with it apply to the federal dollars, but they apply to your whole agency and everything else you do. Even if another funder gives you money specifically for a project, you may not be able to do that project if you take the federal dollars. So folks are working hard to try to get the private money restriction lifted. So fixing the Legal Services Corporation structure, both in terms of the funding level and the private money restriction, would be very helpful. But there have also been some other lines of funding that a lot of legal aid programs work with that have been at low levels for a long time. One of those is Title III of the Older Americans Act, which funds a lot of work in communities throughout the country for the elderly. And in Connecticut, 6% of those funds go to fund legal services for the elderly. We worked very closely together using those funds in cooperation with all the other agencies that help the elderly in Connecticut. But that funding line has been stagnant for years and years. And, of course, in fact, that means it's declining in terms of real dollars when you adjust for inflation. And so a significant increase in the Older Americans Act would help the work we do for the elderly. Violence Against Women Act money to help support the work we do for domestic violence victims. And that is a program. There's a program that specifically funds legal assistance some states, in some states, legal services programs also rely on social services block grant funding, SSBG, and Connecticut is one of those states where legal aid gets help from that pot of money. It's another pot of money that's been stagnant for years. It went through some declines and then froze at that lower level, and it could be very helpful to support the general work we do in helping people avoid homelessness, helping people get out of poverty, if the social services block grant funding were also increased.
Do you receive Legal Services Corporation funds?
Our program does not. Okay. In Connecticut, Legal Services Corporation funds go to an organization called Statewide Legal Services, which is a statewide hotline and advice center. And they take cases throughout the state by telephone, and then they give people help over the telephone, legal advice, and refer particularly urgent cases to the field service programs in Connecticut, which is Connecticut Legal Services, New Haven Legal Assistance, and Greater Hartford Legal Aid. And we did that in Connecticut because at the time the restrictions were applied, the private money restriction was applied to Legal Services Corporation funding. The IOLTA program was a lot more money in Connecticut than the federal money, and it didn't make sense to have the general work of legal aid limited so much by the federal restrictions. So there was a restructuring in Connecticut that allowed the Legal Services Corporation money to be used effectively by a hotline, a call center answering about 15,000 calls a year from low-income people, and then referring appropriate cases to the field service program.
And that hotline probably would benefit from greater LSC money.
Right. Well. But, you know, if there was a combination of a significant increase in Legal Services Corporation funding and the private money restriction were to be lifted, we would be able to have a conversation in Connecticut about what, you know, not what's the best structure to deal with a set of government rules, but we'd be able to have a conversation that was about what's the best structure to actually serve low-income people. And so we would welcome both having the amount of money increased and the restriction lifted so that we could, instead of trying to create a structure that dealt with government rules, we could create a structure that was focused on delivering most efficiently and effectively for the client.
Okay. And I just had one additional question. Recently, in February, the federal government did pass some additional recovery dollars that touched some of the programs that you mentioned earlier. One of them was LSC, another one was VAWA. I'm not sure if you're aware about these funds and if you think that they will help in any way in the immediate future.
The LSC funding was increased by around 10% for the current year. And so that helps. In Connecticut, it helps Statewide Legal Services, the call center I was describing, it helps it be able to stay stable because they also had some loss in the IOLTA funding, although not as great as what we saw in the field program. We receive a Violence Against Women Act grant right now, and we're finishing the second year of our cycle. So when we're up for renewal, we are hoping that we can get increased support through that, particularly because the IOLTA money was supporting a lot of our work on behalf of victims of domestic violence. And if that funding is lacking, we're going to need an increase in Violence Against Women Act funding in order to keep up the level of services we've been trying to provide. The place where more immediately we are hoping we get at least a little bit of help is from the Homelessness Prevention and Rapid Rehousing Program out of HUD. The HPRP funds are being distributed through the five largest cities in Connecticut and then another big chunk through the state of Connecticut. And legal services to low-income people has been identified in the federal guidelines as one of the appropriate services for people to help them avoid homelessness and to help people who are homeless be rehoused more rapidly, both through defending eviction and through helping people hold on to housing subsidies that they have, but also through work on behalf of domestic violence victims who often become homeless as a result of domestic violence, and we can often have a real impact on that. So we have active applications in the five cities and the state of Connecticut that are currently working with the federal government to develop their process, and they'll be making decisions over the next few months as to funding there. But, you know, just in terms of the scope of the problem we're facing and the amount of dollars we're looking at, in Connecticut, the Violence Against Women Act money right now is about $350,000. The Older American Act funding that legal services get in Connecticut is around $500,000. The amount of money we might see in Connecticut through the HPRP for legal services is perhaps $300,000 to $500,000 at most. And the funding gap that we're facing is a $9 million funding gap. So, you know, we are trying to use all of these sources of help and everywhere we can to piece things together. But there's no doubt that we need Connecticut state legislature to support legal services at levels that are more like what New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts, some of our neighboring states, do.
Do you have any last comments that you would like to make before I close our conversation?
I think it's important for people who are thinking about legal aid to understand not only the funding structure, but also to understand how incredibly effective the legal aid network is. One of the things that has struck me as I talk to both folks in Congress and also in the state legislature is that they hear from so many constituents that legal aid should be supported. And the reason they hear that is because our folks are trained as advocates. Sometimes they do work that's really understood as lawyering, you know, showing up in court and arguing before a judge. But lawyers are trained advocates. They're trained to organize an effort that needs to be done and to get a result. And in all kinds of ways, communities across the state and across the country, legal aid lawyers are incredibly effective at fixing problems for people, and that benefits everybody in our society. So it's not just that we're here and we have a problem and we need support. The reason that it's so important to increase the resources available to legal services is because we fix things that society wants fixed. We help people who are subject to violence. We help the elderly who are sick or having trouble in nursing homes. We help kids who are having trouble in school. We're helping people who need support through a temporary or long-term period to be able to get through. And these are people who are our neighbors and sometimes our relatives. And the legal aid programs are really good at solving their problems. And that's the reason why we really should be supportive.
Well, thank you for talking with me today. And I definitely wish you the best in your efforts to raise funds for your program, and definitely here at the federal level we'll continue to have these very valuable discussions, and hopefully they'll result in greater funds being directed your way. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for your interest.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.